You know, sometimes nature gives us warnings, and sometimes it gives us a full-blown reminder of how powerful it is. Just days back, it was the Ethiopian volcano erupting, and now it is Cyclone Dithwa, a storm that started quietly and turned into one of the deadliest cyclones of 2025. This whole story begins on 26 November, just off the southeast coast of Sri Lanka. A small, well-marked low-pressure area had formed, nothing too dramatic at first, but the ocean had other plans. The sea was warm, around 28 to 30 degrees Celsius, which is a perfect fuel for a storm. And the wind shear was low, around 10 to 15 knots, meaning the clouds could rise easily. Now, what is wind shear? Wind shear means when winds at different heights blow differently. Imagine you're walking with an umbrella. Down near your feet, the wind is slow. Near your head, the wind is very fast. So when the wind at the bottom and the wind at the top don't match, and that mismatch can weaken or destroy a storm. So when we say wind shear is low, it simply means the wind at the bottom and the wind at the top are almost the same, not fighting each other. So the warm sea temperature and low wind shear together, these conditions acted like a nursery for something much bigger. By evening, the Indian Meteorological Department officially said, okay, this is now a depression. The word depression refers to a weak, early stage cyclone. A depression is like a baby cyclone, that means things are picking up. A lot of incidents have to take place to create a cyclone, like the air pressure drops in one area, winds start rotating gently, clouds gather, and rain begins. But when we say it's a depression, it means the system is still weak, not organized. But from here, things will begin to pick up fast. Early next morning, that is on 27th November, everything became strong and turned into a deep depression. It was then officially became a cyclonic storm. That's when it got the name Dithwa, suggested by Yemen, inspired by the beautiful Dithwa Lagoon in Socotra. But the irony is, the storm named after a peaceful lagoon was heading towards destruction. Dithwa moved into Sri Lanka, and that is where the real damage began. Rain poured endlessly, rivers overflowed, hillsides collapsed. By the time the storm passed, Sri Lanka was devastated. 330 plus people died, 370 missing, 20,000 homes destroyed, more than 1 lakh people shifted to shelters. It became one of the deadliest storms Sri Lanka had seen in years. Now they have to build a lot of things again from scratch. India immediately stepped in. Under Operation Sagar Bandhu, the Indian Air Force sent relief material and evacuated more than 400 stranded Indians from Colombo. On 29th November, Dithwa moved off the Sri Lankan coast and entered the Bay of Bengal. And guess what? The warm water here gave it new strength. For a short while, it intensified again, enough to worry the entire eastern coast of India. IMD issued warnings for Tamil Nadu, Puducherry and Andhra Pradesh. By 30th November, Dithwa was very close, around 50 km east of Chennai. Nearby districts went on high alert. IMD warned of heavy to very heavy rainfall, strong winds up to 70 to 80 km per hour, high waves and rough sea. By evening of 30th November, things started to shift. The storm's fuel, that is the warm ocean and moisture, was cut off by increasing wind shear, dry air entering the system, slightly cooler sea temperatures. Dithwa began to lose strength and it kept moving slowly northward, almost parallel to the Tamil Nadu and Andhra coast. IMD said very clearly this storm will not make landfall in India. It will pass offshore. That was a huge relief for millions. The system is expected to weaken even more as it moves northward. But for now, it continues to move closer to the eastern coast, somewhere just 30 to 35 kilometers away. Remember what I said about the word depression? It refers to a weak, early stage cyclone. A depression is like a baby cyclone. Similarly, a deep depression is like a teenage cyclone. Stronger, more powerful, but not yet fully grown cyclone. After that, we call it a cyclonic storm. So, even a deep depression can cause flood in low-lying areas, uproot weak trees, damage standing crops, disrupt power, hit fisheries, etc. Now the question is, why Bay of Bengal creates so many cyclones? Remember what I said? A lot of incidents have to take place to create a cyclone, like it all begins with warm sea water. Sea water in Bay of Bengal stays warmer for longer time. Then huge rivers bring fresh water that traps heat. Then wind conditions are usually cyclone friendly. Then geography acts like a funnel pulling storms in. So warm ocean water that is around 28 to 30 degrees Celsius is ideal for evaporation. Moist, warm air rises faster. That feeds the storm with energy plus moisture. Together with low wind shear, it helps in forming tall cumulonimbus clouds, a clustering of thunderstorms, a developing cyclone or tropical storm. So warm water is equal to fuel. Low wind shear is equal to no disturbance. Clouds rise quickly and storms can grow stronger. So from the beginning, if I have to explain, this is how it is. In November to December, the sun's direct heat shifts to the southern hemisphere. India and nearby regions get less sunlight, and that makes the land cool faster. But the ocean stays warm for longer because water loses heat slowly. Now this creates temperature pressure differences. Then cold, dry air from land moves towards the warm ocean. Now always remember this point. Cold air is heavier than warm air. Therefore cold air from land stays close to the ground. That's why during winter you feel cold air hitting your face frequently. The cold air over the land gets denser and squeezes down a bit. That makes the pressure over the land higher compared to the warm sea. Air always wants to move from high pressure to low pressure, like water flowing downhill. So the cooler, dry air closer to the ground slides off the land and flows towards the sea where the temperature is comparatively warmer. The same thing you will notice when you open a door of your AC room. You will notice the cold air from the AC room sliding over the ground towards the warmer room. Now, once the cold air from the land reaches the warm ocean, the air at the sea surface gets warmed by the water and soaked with moisture, that is water vapor. As you know, warm air is lighter, so it wants to go up. A good way to imagine this would be, put a kettle on, the steam above the kettle rises because it's hot and light. The sea does the same, but with moist air. As the moist air rises above the ocean, the moisture in the air condenses because again temperature decreases as altitude increases. Higher you go, colder the air becomes. That is how clouds are formed. As the moist air keeps rising from the ocean surface, there is less air left near the surface of the ocean. That is where the surrounding high pressure air then rushes in to fill the gap. That's the wind which keeps fueling the storm. A simple analogy for this would be, it's like drinking fruity from a Tetra pack. As you keep sipping, the pack shrinks because you're pulling the air out. And the moment you stop, outside air pushes back in to refill the space and the packet regains its shape. So warm ocean air rises, pressure drops. Clouds shoot upward easily because wind shear is low. That is why November and early December are almost like cyclone season for this region. Also add Earth's rotation factor here. Since Earth is rotating, the inflowing air doesn't go straight. It gets a sideways kick, Coriolis effect, and the whole system starts to spin. That spinning helps the system organize into a cyclone instead of collapsing into one spot. So Cyclone Dithwa showed again how one small low pressure area can transform into a powerful, deadly storm within hours. Now Sri Lanka is rebuilding, Indian coastal states are recovering from heavy rain, and once again nature has reminded us of its strength and why preparedness is not a choice, but a necessity. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.